network to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Okeke. And now, today's word.
I started a series that I titled Sacrifice of Praise. And in part one, my subtitle was The Fruit of the Lips. And we talked about the power of words, or our words either spoken or sung in praising God. It is our sacrifice which we bring to God. I'm now doing part two of the sacrifice of praise. And my subtitle is Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. One of the most important things we must always keep in mind when we bring our sacrifice of praise, when we praise God, when we dance in church, when we clap in church, when we do all these things we do in church, we must know to whom we are giving these offerings. When we praise, whom are we praising? When we clap, whom are we clapping to or for? When we lift up our hands, who is it for? When we sing, who is it for? Because if we are not careful, sometimes we do all of these things, but we are not mindful of where it's directed. Where is our praise directed? Where is our worship directed? Where is our dancing directed? And if we're not careful, we direct it to ourselves so that we become the giver and the receiver of our own praise. But it is unto the Lord, and that is what we're going to be focusing on. I'm going to go back to the text I started with in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, and that will also anchor my teaching for today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There are two references in this passage that I want you to take note of, and it tells us where we address our praise and our thanksgiving, the fruit of our lips. Where is it addressed? And the passage says, it is to God. It is to God for who he is. That means that when we are thanking God, or we are worshiping and we are praising, it is to God. It is not to us, it's not to the church, it's not to the pastor, it is to God. And it is to God basically for who he is, simply because he is God. Not because of what he has done, but because of who he is. So that's the first thing that we must be mindful of. Anytime we come to church, we say, let us clap our hands to the Lord, or let us shout to the Lord, or let us sing. It is to God, not to the church, not to the pastor, not to please ourselves. It is to God. We sing, we praise, we worship, and it is all to God. That's the first thing I want you to know. The second thing I want you to note from that verse is that it says it is also to God's name, to his name, who he is. God's name is his character. God is not anonymous. His name distinguishes him from all other gods. God has a name, and we sing and we praise his name. When you know a person by name, you are distinguishing the person from other people. Your name is what sets you apart. That's why most times when people want to know who you are, they're going to ask, what's your name? You go for interviews, what's your name? You fill a form, what's your name? Because your name is what makes you different from other people. Now, most of us have names that other people have. So we have names that other people use. But my name, I am the only one on this planet who is called Mensah Anamoah Otabo. Nobody has that name. I am the only one. I'm one of those few people who have a name that is only shared by us. There's nobody on this planet called Mensah Anamoah Otabo. Nobody. I'm very unique. You can go and Google it for yourself. Nobody else is called Mensa Namortable. Me alone. I've tried it. A few people have stolen the Mensa and have added the Otabe. But they can't get the middle one. The middle one, they can't get it. It's too dangerous. They can't get it. Mensa Namortable. Now, some of you have names. It's unique to you, but about 50 people, you know, if you go and Google your name, you see so many people have your name in this world. So many people. But me. Now, when we say God, so many things are called God. So many things, so many deities. But God revealed his name to Moses when he asked, who should I tell the people has sent me? He says, tell them I am. And there is only one I am. And when we praise him and we praise his name, we are speaking or thanking God for his uniqueness based on I am. I am what? I am. But what are you? He is unique to us. We experience God based on his name. If you have been saved and have experienced salvation, then the Lord is your salvation. He is, I am your Savior. If you have been sick and he heals you, he is, I am your healer. Now, if you've never experienced God in a particular way, in a special way, then your praise of God is not going to be deep because you have no I am experience of God. But if you've experienced him as a healer and you're thanking him for your healing, the level of your praise is deeper than somebody who has never experienced healing. If you've never been broke before and somebody is praising God and say, the Lord is my provider, you say, well, but I can buy everything for myself. But there are some of us who know God is my provider. And when I worship him as my provider, there is depth and meaning. Until you experience God personally, your praise will always be shallow. You have to experience him. And that's what he says. We do it to his name for who he means to us. Now, when I was young child living with my parents, I had to experience God as a great provider. Because like most Ghanaian families, poverty was not far from us. And scarcity and difficulty. And there were moments our family went into difficulty, especially my father got sick and couldn't work again, was laid off from his job. And so there was no real income in our family. And many times life will be hard, things will be hard. We'll get up in the morning, we don't know what to do. My mother was a very praying woman. And so we go and we say, so what happens today? And you say, Nyamibe, God will do it. God will provide. Something will happen. And as a child, I learned to depend on my mother. When you say, Nyamibe, God will do it. I just feel it is finished. Because my mom says it will be done. And you know, sometimes we'll be there in the morning, there is no food. In the afternoon, we don't know where lunch is coming from. And then all of a sudden, somebody will visit our home. And he'll say, oh, I came to visit the home and come with a lot of food. And all of a sudden, a place where there was no food now has abundance. Sometimes it will come, a relative, a friend will bring some money. And so I got to understand the Lord is a provider. So when I'm worshiping the God who provides, it's because I have an experience of his provision. If you have no experience of that, it means nothing to you. Somebody says, I celebrate God because he healed me. If you've never been sick, you will not understand it. We give him praise for who he is, but also to his name, because we have experienced him. And I hope that you have an experience of God that makes your worship deep. In fact, as a result of my childhood experiences of God, I have no anxiety where there's no money. That's how my life is. Broke doesn't shake me. You know, some people get broke and their whole life is disorganized. Broke was my normal. So most of the things that I have done in life, I have never considered money. Because I understood that God is a provider, that even when you have zero, he has a thousand. He has a million, because he is my provider. And with that depth of experience, you can sing praise to his name and say, the Lord is my provider. You can understand when the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because I understand him as my provider, as my healer, as my deliverer. When people say, oh, things are against you, oh, this is, you're not going to last so long, I know the Lord is my deliverer. I know the Lord is my helper. I know the Lord is my shield. I may be encompassed by 1,000 enemies. I give no hoot to the enemy, because God is. And that's how our praise deepens, because we have an experience of God. And out of that experience, we worship the Lord. All of our praise belongs to him. In the Old Testament, they used to praise God and they would say, because he is good and his mercies endure forever. This point is emphasized a little bit more in the opening verses of Psalm 29. Psalm 29 verses 1 and 2. And it says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. What does this verse teach us? It teaches us that our worship belongs to God alone. We don't divide our worship. I shared about our childhood, and God will supply our needs as a family. What I would see my mother do, she would thank the people who gave her whatever, and then she would go into the room or be somewhere and be singing. She would sing the whole day, worshiping God and thanking God, because she understood, although God uses people to bless us and to help us, the worship doesn't belong to the helper who gave us money. The worship belongs to God who brought the helper. Because if you understand the Lord is the one behind the scenes bringing people your blessings, giving you favor, then you don't worship the one who favored you. You thank the one who favors you, but you worship God. Our worship belongs to God alone. Because if you're not careful, you become a human worshiper. People help you, and all you do is you worship the people, you owe the people, your life belongs to them. But no, we know God uses people and we don't worship the people. Never worship the people God used to bless you. Thank them, be appreciative of them, be supportive of them, be loyal to them, but don't worship them. Worship belongs only to God. He uses people, he uses circumstances. If you are sick and God uses a doctor to bring you health, you have to know who works behind the doctor. So you thank the doctor, Dr. So-and-so, thank you for treatment. But Lord, I worship you. You are my great healer. I'm not going to say because I went to hospital, I'm not going to worship God as the healer. He's the healer. Paracetamol cannot heal you. Surgery cannot heal you. No human expertise can heal you. The healer is God, and he works with human instruments to bring help to us. And we have to always look beyond the human experience, the human channel, so that our worship only belongs to God. All our worship belongs to him. But if you look at that psalm very carefully, it says that, give unto the Lord, all you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. We give him all our strength and honor. Our strength there talks about what we have achieved, what we have become, the thing that makes us strong, the thing that makes us who we are. When we come to God, we give him all of that. We lay everything at his feet. So if you are a king and you come to God, you can't behave like a king. If you're a king and people bow to you, you have servants who bow to you. When you go to church and you have to bow to God, you don't tell your servant, I'm supposed to bow, but you bow for me. No, we give all that we have to him. In the presence of God, you are not a pastor. In the presence of God, you are not a king. In the presence of God, you are not a man of God, woman of God. You know, there are pastors who go to the service and they stand as if they are superintendents over God's work. No, when we come before God, we are the children of God. We are the sheep of his pasture, and we bring all under his feet. We give him all the honor. If you are so conscious of your position in life that it hinders your worship of God, then you are not going to experience God in the fullness and the depths of who he is. We lay everything, we bring our strength, and we put it at his disposal. We give him our strength and our honor. And then the verse says something else. It says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. What does that mean? We give him what is worthy and befitting. The glory that is due to his name. That means we have to be intentional about what we give to God. And that's always difficult because the Lord has left it to us to estimate the way that we worship him. So God says, when you come to worship me, consider in your own self what you think I deserve and give it to me. That's serious. But he's also watching. But he says, you choose. You, when you're coming to worship God, choose what you think is befitting of me. That means that what I bring as praise to God must be better than anything I give to somebody else. So for example, if I say I want to dance for the Lord, I want to dance to praise God, the dance I give to God must be greater than the dance I dance anywhere else. Now there are people who give dance to a party. They can go to a party and dance all night long. Slide from one end to the other. Do all kinds of dance. But when they come to church, they fold their arms and do nothing. That means that you have estimated the party is more worthy than God. But if you think God deserves all your praise, then when you dance in the party, you say you dance in the party, what you do in church must supersede what you give to anybody else. Now, I am not much of a dancer. I don't dance. I am one of those Africans who don't know how to dance. You know, once in a while, the whole genetic thing mixes up. And then you find an African who can dance. So anytime I dance, my children are laughing at me because my dance is not very rhythmic. And it's been so from childhood. So I watch people dance. When I'm dancing, I just do something like this. Just not me. And tap my feet or do go 1, 2, 1, 2. That's my dance. Anything beyond that would be very embarrassing. I'll be dancing like a European. So, and Africans, you can't dance like a European. They don't have rhythm. Africans have rhythm, but unfortunately, this African dance European. So I don't dance much, but some of you are dancers. Wherever you go, you're dancing and you are boogieing and you are dancing. But when you come to church, nothing. The dance you gave to the party, you couldn't even give God anything. He says, give to him the glory that is befitting of him. Some of us know how to describe food. We can praise food. Whoa! There are people who praise food. The food is there, and they look at the food and say, hey, wow. And then they start praising the parts of the food. If it is for food, they are praising, they taste it, they sample it, and they say, yeah, there's no nkotwa nkotwa in it, there's nothing. And, you know, it's all praise. And they look at the crab, and they can tell this crab is a young crab, and this one is an older one, and this one, this snail, and the spices, and they're mentioned. And then when they come to church and they have to praise God, they have no words. So who is your God? If you have superlatives for food,
but no words for God, it means you have no relationship with Him. Some have language for football. They can describe a goal scored by Messi or by somebody else, and they can speak, and the anger, and he lobbed the ball and tossed the ball, and I'm telling you, it was a sublime moment. But when it comes to church, they say, I don't even know what to say. But you said sublime. You praise Messi's goal. You praise the team. You praise food. You praise fun. People travel. And when they come, it's like a Ghanaian who's gone to Paris, or he's gone to maybe Spain, go to Barcelona. Hey, my friend, I'm telling you, there are places in this world. Hey! And they are full of praise and full of glory and full of honor. But when it comes to praising God, they say, I don't even know what to say, but you know how to praise Barcelona and Dubai. You know why? You have no relationship with God. Because if you have a relationship with God and He's present with you, you have more words for God than for food, for football, for fun, for tourist attractions, for places you travel to. And if you find that in your life there are things you praise more than God, I don't say don't praise those things. Still praise the food, but up it with God. Super it with God. Extra it with God. Because when it comes to God, we have to give Him that which is befitting Him. In other words, what we give to God must be at the highest peak of our language, of our expression, and of all that we do. Give to the Lord the glory that is befitting to Him. Of course, the glory that we give to God is greater than the glory we can give to anybody. The appellations people use when they see a powerful person, maybe they see their senior pastor, and they would start praising him, and oh, wow, 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 fine. Or they see a president, and they go, wow, 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 wow. Then when you see your God, you go, wow, wow, to the 1,000th degree. You have to go extra. Whatever you give to a man, you give God 1,000,000,000,000,000 times more. Because He deserves all of it. So listen to me, all of you who say, I don't know how to praise. I don't even know how to worship. And you know how to praise food. And you know how to praise football. And you know how to praise your girl. You know how to praise your boy. I've met a girl. Hey, Charlie, the girl. Hey! Then you have to say, Charlie God, you are. Say the same thing. And say it more to the Lord. Because we give Him the glory that is befitting Him. He's the highest. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's deeper than the deepest. He loves more than everybody else. He is our strength. He is our help. There is none like Him. There is none besides Him. Nothing can compare to Him. We give Him our strength. We give Him our energy. We give Him all that is in us. And it's all towards the Lord. Final scripture we will look at is in Exodus chapter 30. Remember last 2 weeks when we talked about sacrifice of praise, we talked about the offering, the daily offerings in the temple in the morning and the evening, which was the offering of a lamb, the offering of incense. This passage has to do with the incense offering. I want you to pay a little attention to it. Exodus 30, verse 8 and 9. And when Aaron lights the lamp at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. It's a very peculiar instruction in the Old Testament. The thing about some of these Old Testament instructions is sometimes we don't fully understand what is behind it. But this injunction addresses two things. The first one, it says, you shall not offer strange incense on it. He's talking about the altar of incense, where the altar, the incense is burning. He says, don't offer strange incense on it. And what is strange incense? It is mistaking offering, offering that is not approved. The incense that had to be put on the altar, there were specific instructions as to their composition, the materials that should compose them, and who qualifies to make them under the Old Testament. And so God is saying, if you're going to bring incense to my altar, it has to fit with the specific of what I have requested for. So what does that mean? It means that, yes, if I'm going to worship God, I have to worship God in the appropriate way. So it's possible to worship him, but you'll be burning strange incense. You'll be bringing something to the Lord. For example, in dancing, you know, we dance before the Lord, but there are certain dances that can be strange incense. You know, because Africans, when we dance, we are very vigorous. And one of the things about African dances, our waist moves. We are waist moving people, especially the ladies. Their waist has to move. You know, years ago, I was talking to an African dance choreographer. Because this thing, I said, why is it the Africans, when they are dancing, we have to be moving their waist like that? And he says, well, it's African dance. I said, isn't there any African dance that does not include waist? He says, no, we have to move waist. So if you look at Panlogo or Bobobo and look at all, there's waist movement. Many times the waist moves different ways, sometimes from left to right, left to right, left to right. It's not too bad, but sometimes it's from back to front, back to front, back to front. Now, I can tell you, back to front, it's a strange incense. It's a strange incense. So although you are dancing, you are mindful that what I'm presenting to God must be right. What I'm presenting to God must be honorable. So it will be the right thing. So it's possible to be doing what you're supposed to do, but in a wrongly prescribed way. So that's what he's saying. Incense is to be burnt, but don't bring strange incense. And if you read the Bible, I think it's in Leviticus, the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, they came with strange incense, unapproved incense. These are the priest's children. I don't know where they got the incense from. Maybe they bought it by the store or wherever, and they put it on the altar. And fire from the altar came and consumed them. They died. And God was emphasizing, when I say I don't want something, don't bring it. So it's good that we worship God, but we also have to consider our heart's intentions, our motives, our desires, and all the driving force behind what we are doing so that it is done honorably to please God. Then the second thing he says in that verse, that confused me a little bit. And I had to spend a long time trying to figure out, what is this saying? It's a misplaced offering. It's a misplaced offering. The first one is mistaken. This one is misplaced. It is making an offering in the wrong place. Because God is saying to Aaron, the altar of incense, where you present the incense, he says, don't ever burn a burnt offering on that altar. Don't put a grain offering on that altar. Don't put a drink offering on that altar. He didn't say burnt offering is wrong. He didn't say grain offering is wrong. He didn't say all these offerings are wrong. He just says, don't put it on the altar of incense. Why? Because the burnt offering has its place. The grain offering has its place. The drink offering has its place. It's not for the altar of incense. Because what comes out from the altar of incense must be a sweet-smelling sacrifice. The burnt offering does not produce that. The grain offering does not produce that. The wine, the drink offering does not produce that. So on the altar of incense, the only thing that must burn there is sweet-smelling incense. So sometimes there are things that are right, but they don't belong somewhere. So for example, when it comes to worship, We have to be careful that we don't do in worship things that do not belong to worship. So, for example, when it comes to warfare, we don't use worship for warfare. We don't use worship for warfare. Now, I've heard people use that phrase, my worship is my weapon. If you mean your worship is your weapon in the sense that it represents a strength you have in relationship with God, then yes, you can say my worship is my weapon. But if you say my worship is my weapon in the sense that I am using my worship to fight my enemy, then worship is not used to fight enemy. Worship is unto God, not to your enemy, not to the devil. It's unto God. So you don't use worship to fight. Because, you know, these days I hear people sometimes say, when you're praying, we have to clap our hands because when we clap our hands, we are slapping the devil. We don't clap our hands to slap the devil. We clap our hands to acclaim and praise God. So people say, let's pray. And they are clapping because we are destroying demons. You're not slapping demons. Worship is not against Satan. Worship is unto God. Can God fight for you whilst you are worshiping him? Yes, but it is not for you to do the fight. You worship him and he does it for you.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.